This morning's sermon is called The Shepherd Knows His Sheep from John chapter 10, verse 22 through 42, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We ended last Sunday in verse 21, and in this morning's passage, we're going to pick up in verse 22. This is approximately 2 months later, so there's a two-month gap between verse 21 and verse 22. Same message, but 2 months later. We went from October to December, to the Feast of Dedication, which is in December. Okay, so we got a little two-month gap there. After chapter 10, we are about 4 months from the cross. We're about halfway through this book, but the rest of this is about 4 months until Jesus goes to the cross to die for his people. This is Jesus' final public proclamation to the religious leaders until the final week of his crucifixion and his final week of his ministry. These religious leaders, as we've been going through this gospel, were determined to put an end to Jesus, put an end to his message, and keep the people right where they wanted them, in control of them and their hands. We have noticed as we've gone through this gospel that Jesus has been very merciful and very patient with these religious leaders. After this chapter, he'll head to the wilderness and he won't talk to them again until the final week. He's going to spend the rest of this book discipling to his disciples, talking about what's to come, his crucifixion, and what's to come after his crucifixion. So if you brought your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 10. You can follow along on a wall if you like. The Gospel of John chapter 10. We're going to pick up in verse 22. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at verse 22 through 24. Now it was the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, same thing, in Jerusalem, and it was winter, it was December, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews, the religious leaders, surrounded Jesus and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, Jesus, as we've been going through this gospel, has been around these religious leaders for about 2.5 years now. Some of them said no one spoke like Jesus. They witnessed Jesus healing the blind, healing the sick, raising the dead, but it wasn't enough for them. They said to Jesus, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." It was never about doubt. It was about unbelief. Doubt is different than unbelief. It's okay to doubt because it drives us to get answers, right? Right? Faith leads to investigation. Same thing. Doubt, not sure about something, and you seek out answers. You go to God's Word. You seek out. So doubt is okay. Unbelief is just the opposite. Unbelief refuses all answers. They don't want the answers. So there's a big difference between the two, doubting something and totally not believing. They had already, these religious leaders, have already made up their minds. We're not following Jesus. And they refuse to believe in his message. These men were not doubting. They were unbelieving. Big difference. Jesus told them back in chapter 6, we went through this, he told them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus told these same men back in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He told them in the same chapter, chapter 8, as we went through before, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus told them, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. But they were never moved by His words. And these are not confusing statements. These are very easy to understand. All the evidence is there. They just didn't want to believe. I want you to notice Jesus' response. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. Look at Jesus' response to these men. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Jesus was telling them, I have given you all the proof that you need. If you do not want to believe in my words, at least believe in my works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. Jesus told them, I directly told you, and more importantly, I have demonstrated to you my works, that my words can be trusted. And then Jesus told them, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. If you are my sheep, you would follow me. Powerful words from the Lord. If you were my sheep, you would follow me. Let's take a look at verses 27 and 30. I love these four verses. These four verses, I've shared them with you before. Powerful four verses right here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Wow. Wow. Jesus said, similar to us at the beginning of this chapter, remember Jesus told us, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I call them out by name. And I lead them. Very similar, he tells us, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And because they follow me, I give them eternal life. And here's the promise to all you in Christ Jesus. You shall never perish. Promise from Jesus Christ. That's not a promise from Pastor Sean. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. You will never perish, says the Lord. I want you to notice verse 28. This is very important for you to understand, and I'm sure you do. Jesus said, I give them eternal life. You can't earn it. We don't deserve it. Jesus gives us eternal life when we turn to Him with all our heart and soul and we truly believe in Him, who He is. We believe in His Word. We believe in His works on the cross, the gospel. We believe that He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose 3 days later from the dead, and we placed all our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. And we follow Him. We follow Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." He didn't say, "They might follow Me." He said, "They will follow Me." You know, it's easy to say, "I believe in Jesus." It's another thing to follow Him. Amen? It's another thing to follow after Him. A big difference in the two. Seeking Him out daily. Seeking out His Word. Living to please the Lord. My question to you this morning, has Jesus changed your life? Has Jesus changed your life? I know some of you have been walking with the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years. And I'm sure back then He changed your life. And you've been following after Him every day since. That's a sign of being born again. When you get saved, when you get born again, your life changes. Jesus comes to live within you. He starts to change who you are. He gives you a new heart, Ezekiel 36, and a new spirit. Things you used to worry about don't worry you as much. Things that you used to be so fearful about, not so fearful anymore. The sin that you once longed for, you want nothing to do with. That is the work of God in the heart of the believer. Thanks be to God. You're being changed. You're getting a taste of eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and He begins to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "You will never perish." That's My promise to you. You'll never perish. Hallelujah. You need to understand this very important thing. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. You follow me there? We are kept by the power of God, not our power. The power of God keeps us to the end. Not our power. That's in 1st book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. Peter wrote, "We are kept by the power of God, not our power." If we tried to keep our own power, we lose it. God said, "No, I keep you by My power. Don't try to escape. I got you right here. You may stumble, you may fall. I'll pick you up, and I'm going to hold you. That's My promise to you because you've surrendered your life to Me." We're kept by the power of God, not our power. Let's take a look at verse 31 and 33. Now, I told you this before, and if maybe you're new to the church, when the Apostle John writes the Jews, he's talking about the religious leader, not the Jewish nation, okay? When he talks about the Jews, he's talking about these religious leaders, okay? So right here when John writes at verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from My Father. For which of these works do you stone Me?" A great response. Verse 33, the Jews answered Jesus, saying, "For the good works we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, Jesus, being a man, make yourself God." Be because he is God. He's God in the flesh. Now, if you look at verse 31, this tells us they understood exactly who Jesus was claiming to be, because they picked up stones to stone him once again. They knew who Jesus was claiming to be, and they wanted to kill him for it because he was claiming to be God in the flesh. They didn't misunderstand. They refused to believe and follow him. I like how Jesus says, did you catch this? I like how Jesus says, hey, by the way, which of the good works are you going to stone me for? For healing the blind man who was born blind, for healing him? Are you going to stone me for doing that? Or how about this one? Are you going to stone me for the man I healed back at Bethsaida by the pool who was crippled for 38 years? Are you going to stone me for healing him? How about you going to stone me for feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children? Or are you going to stone me? Are you going to stone me for raising the widow's son from the dead? Which one? Wow, that's powerful. Which one? Which one of these miracles that only God could do, you're going to stone me? That's just what Jesus told him. Which one? What a comeback from the Lord. You notice what they reply? Oh no, we're not going to stone you for your good works. We're going to stone you because you've claimed to be God. In other words, we're not going to kill you for acting like God. We're going to kill you for saying you're God. I mean, you see how blind these men were? Jesus was telling them, he says, my works bear witness of me that what I'm telling you is true. Nobody could do what I do. Only God could do what Jesus did. They didn't want to believe. All the proof was there, but their hearts, listen, their hearts were so hardened, they weren't going to believe. Have you shared the gospel with some people like that before? No matter what you say, their hearts are so hardened, they're not going to believe. You can say, you can share the gospel with someone, you can just say it so perfectly, and they can say to you, whatever. I don't believe it. Thanks, Sean. You know what that tells you right there? Their hearts are hardened. They got a hardened heart. That's what it is. And many of them want to be their own God. I'm going to call the shots in my life. I don't want to surrender my life to Christ. That means I'm going to be accountable for every action I do. I'm going to be my own God, right? Paul and Peter, they're right about that. And God is their belly. But I want you to notice something very important here. I want you to notice how merciful and patient Jesus is. If that was me, I'd already say, Lord, send down some fire from heaven. How about, had these guys been with me for 2.5 years, they don't get it. Send the fire. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. All those stubborn people, your friends and family, don't want to come to Christ. You want to say, yeah, I'm done sharing the gospel. Jesus isn't done with them. He's going to give them right up until they take their last breath. We're in the age of grace. As long as they call upon the name just before they take their last breath, Jesus will save them and bring them right into eternal kingdom, his eternal kingdom. These men wanted to kill Jesus. Jesus wanted to save them. That's the Lord we serve. Very merciful, very patient. Good thing, huh? Good thing? Let's look at verse 34 and 36. Jesus answered them. He brings the law out on them now. Is it not written in your law? I said you are gods. If he called them gods, God called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Wow, Jesus turns the law on him. He turns the Old Testament law on these fellas who knew it really well. He quotes Psalm 82, and they knew it. God referred to men that were judges in the Old Testament as gods, little g's, gods, because they were representatives of him. So he called them gods. Listen, I'm going to raise you up. You're going to be a judge. You're going to represent me. You're going to tell the people my will. You guys will be like little gods, little g's. Jesus says, so he turns it on them. He turns it on them and he says, Jesus' argument was, he has in fact proven himself to be the Father's representative, just like the Old Testament judges, representatives of the earth, that he's entitled to be recognized as the Son of God, he tells them. And Jesus is saying, I have come and I am the perfect representative of who God is because I am God in the flesh. Boy, I can imagine they won't pick up some stones on that one. Doesn't say, but they probably did. Let's look at verse 37 and 39. Jesus said, again, he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. In other words, if I don't do all these miracles before your eyes, heal the blind, heal the sick, raise the dead, fine, don't believe me. But verse 38 says, but if I do, which he did, though you do not believe me, believe in my works. If you don't want to believe in my words, believe in my works, my miracles which I have done, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am him, in him. Look at verse 39. You think they got it? Nope. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hands. Jesus was telling them, if I didn't do the works, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do, believe me, so I can give you eternal life. Believe in me and who I say I am, and I'll give you eternal life. But their heart was so hardened. Jesus is being so merciful, so patient with these men, and all they wanted to do is have them killed. Let's take a look at our final three verses. Verse 42. So after Jesus escapes out of their hands, it says in verse 40 that he, Jesus, went away again beyond the Jordan to a place where John, you're talking about John the Baptist, was baptizing at first before, and there Jesus stayed. He left the city. Then many came to Jesus and said, John the Baptist performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man, Jesus, were true. And many believed in him there. They believed. They saw the miracles. They're like, oh no, John the Baptist, he spoke good words. But this man, Jesus, we've seen miracles. And John the Baptist told us he was the Christ, and he's right. And it says they believed. Right? Jesus left the city, he headed into the wilderness near the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing all those people. And scriptures tell us also that Jesus went also into the wilderness of the area Ephraim. Right? You see that in the script, Ephraim. And he only returned back to the city to raise Lazarus from the dead, which is in our next chapter, chapter 11. It's the only time he went back there was to raise his dear friend Lazarus from the dead. They went and they told him, which we'll get into next Sunday, God willing, chapter 11. But from here, Jesus shifts his attention at the end of this chapter. He shifts his attention to his disciples and starts to prepare them for the crucifixion. He knows that when these men see him get nailed to a cross, they're going to be so distraught. They are going to be just mortified seeing him nailed to a cross and hang on a cross for 6 hours. before he takes his last breath. So Jesus knows this is going to be very hard for them to understand all these things that are going to happen now from after chapter 11. He raises Lazarus from the dead. He's gonna start to prepare them, their mind, for what's to come. And he starts to tell them, I'm going to the cross, but don't you worry, I'm going to raise 3 days later, like I told you. But they're still going to be it's going to be trauma seeing their Lord hang on a tree, on a cross. So he's going to shift now. We're going to shift that after we go through chapter 11 of Lazarus, all about Jesus saying, I am the resurrection of life. Just like I raised Lazarus from the dead, I'm going to raise you. That's my promise. After that, we're going to get into chapter 12, and from there, it's all the way to the cross. Powerful. But before we close, I want you to remember a few things from chapter 10. Very important things that we have gone through in chapter 10. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus told us the shepherd calls out his own sheep, his people, by name. No, meaning he knows you, he knows me. If you're in Christ, he knows you, he knows his sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and he leads them out. Okay? Very important to know. He knows his sheep by name because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, I know my sheep. I know who belongs to me. I know who doesn't. Okay? He also told us at the beginning of this chapter, which is very, very comforting, for you and me to know. Jesus told us that he goes out before his sheep. Okay? This is so important for you to know, believe, and remember that Jesus says, I go before you. Okay? Which means I go before every difficult time for you. Every difficult time that you're in, I'm going before you. Okay? Every trial and tribulations that come into your life, Jesus said, I'm going to go before you. Every challenge, every pain and suffering, every doctor's visit, I'm going before you. And I want you to know that. I've written this to you, that when you go into the hospital or wherever you go, I'm going before you. Probably holding your hand. So don't you worry about a thing. You belong to me, says the Lord. This is Jesus' promise to you as a believer in Christ. I'm going before you. I'm already there. I'm going to be sitting beside there, sitting beside the bed the whole time. Don't you worry. I'm going to go before you. Everywhere you go, he's leading the way. Jesus told us, I'm the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I lead them out. Don't forget that. Trials and tribulations come into your life. Jesus is going to lead you through it. Jesus' words. Jesus also told us in this chapter, I am the only way out. I am the only door that leads into heaven. There is no other door. Right? You heard him say before, no door number two, door number three. No. He said, I'm the door. Not a door. Jesus said, I am the door, the way out of here that leads into eternal life in which you must be saved. Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me. We have a personal relationship and they follow me. I lay down my life for my sheep because I know them personally. They know me. I care for them and I love them. So I lay my life down for them. Powerful chapter we've gone through. And this morning, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus' words to you and me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. So I got you. Okay? I've got you, says the Lord. I've got you. So you think you're slipping away? No, I got you, says the Lord. You think, oh, I'm slipping away from the Lord. No, I got you. Jesus is telling us, if you belong to me, you will recognize my voice, his word, and you will follow me. I know you because you belong to me, and you know me. Jesus said, I'm your shepherd. And because of this, I give you eternal life, and you shall never perish. That's my promise to you, says the Lord. And no one can take you from me, or nothing, right? Nothing. My Father has given you to me, and no one can take you from my Father's hand. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Because if there was a way for me to screw it up, I would. But you got me. And I'm kept by the power of God unto salvation. That, I don't know if that moves you, but that moves me. Knowing that Jesus promised me, he's going to hang on to me till the end. He's not going to let me go. When I stumble and I do something I shouldn't have and I repent, he says, I got you. And you're never going to perish. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us as we went through this amazing chapter 10. What an amazing chapter. All the promises, Lord, that you have given every believer in Christ. Oh, Lord, thank you for your promises. Please, Lord, continue to speak to us week after week, daily, as we go through your word, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our soul. Open our spirit. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.